You're listening to SBS News.
Well, may we say, God save the Queen. Because nothing will save the Governor-General.
On November 11, 1975, former Prime Minister Gough Whitlam stood on the steps of Parliament House in Canberra, surrounded by scores of people. He condemned his dismissal by then-Governor-General Sir John Kerr. The decisions leading up to the event, which later became known as the Constitutional Crisis of 1975, was shrouded in secrecy. That is, until now. Historic correspondence between Queen Elizabeth II and Sir John Kerr, guarded by the National Archives, have been released. It comes after a four-year court battle launched by historian Jenny Hocking. In a 6-1 ruling, the High Court of Australia found the letters are not personal, but rather Commonwealth records that must be available for public access under the provisions of the Archives Act. Ms. Hocking says she is relieved the letters are available for all to read.
We've achieved, I think, legally a little bit of colonial upstartery and enabled letters that Buckingham Palace would normally keep locked away for decades and have already kept locked away for decades to be made available to the Australian people, to become part of our history.
The letters detail discussions between Sir John and the Queen's private secretary, Martin Charteris, about the possibility of sacking Mr. Whitlam and dissolving Parliament. On November 4, 1975, a week before Mr. Whitlam was removed from power, Mr. Charteris wrote to Sir John, saying he was handling the situation with skill and wisdom. He cautioned Sir John to only use his powers as a final option.
It is also clear that you will use them in the last resort and then only for constitutional and not for political reasons. To use them is a heavy responsibility, and it is only at the very end, when there is demonstrably no other course, that they should be used.
On the day of Mr. Whitlam's dismissal, Sir John wrote to Buckingham Palace outlining he had not told the Queen directly of his decision.
I should say I decided to take the step I took without informing the palace in advance because, under the Constitution, the responsibility is mine, and I was of the opinion it was better for Her Majesty not to know in advance, though it is, of course, my duty to tell her immediately.
Philip Benwell, National Chair of the Australian Monarchist League, says it was unnecessary for the Queen to be included.
It was not her place to involve herself one way or the other. Her duty, her role, and the role of the Governor General was to ensure that the Constitution was upheld.
But Ms. Hockey says that it is concerning. The use of reserve powers was even discussed with the palace.
He advises the Governor-General on the nature and the powers and the potential use of the reserve powers. And the reserve powers is one of the most contentious areas in Australian political, legal and constitutional structures because it is highly contested. Some would claim it doesn't exist at all. And for the Queen's private secretary to be commenting to the Governor-General, who is about to exercise those powers, on the existence and possible use of those very powers, I think is alarming.
Opposition leader Anthony Albanese says the letters highlight a tarnish on the notion of democracy in Australia.
It is, I think, a blight on our character as a nation that a democratically elected government was dismissed.
Mr. Whitlam responded to his sacking with immense anger. Over four decades on, his rage is still inspiring a new generation of people to call for Australia to become a republic. Sandy Beyer, the National Director of the Australian Republic Movement, says it is time for the country to break ties with a British monarchy.
We need an Australian head of state who represents Australians first and only, and is accountable to Australians. We shouldn't have to wait four decades to find out what decisions were made in our name.
Sonia Lal, SBS News.